People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. I am Greg with my co-host Larry.
Yep. Good morning and, well, that's usually what I say, right?
Yep.
Or, hey, what's happening?
I'll tell you, man.
Dude.
It's good to be with you, first of all.
It's always good to be with you.
Before I get into what I was going to say, this show, every week, 30 minutes of us talking about different topics and issues that face the community, especially right here in the Bay Area and beyond in a lot of cases, well beyond.
In a lot of cases.
It's a strong opportunity for the community to have a platform to speak about some of these issues and get on the air with us, of course, which is always nice. But the bigger thing here is when something happens that is unexpected, we're able to kind of get on and talk about it and raise some awareness. In a lot of cases, we have guests on the show with us.
Yeah.
We haven't had many guests. In the summer, that's generally how it works. Next week, we have Merle from the Sankar Eye Foundation.
Yeah, an old friend.
Very old friend.
Goes way back.
They have a big event coming up, so we're going to talk to them about that. But this week, we thought we should talk about the California wildfires.
Again.
Which
a year
it seems like this is deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra said.
Was it last year? Was
last year
Napa, Sonoma?
Last year was the biggest to date, and then this year with these wildfires that are happening now, it is officially the biggest in the state's history. I think it's the second biggest in the history of the country, but I'm not 100% sure if I heard that properly.
California is always good for that.
Yeah.
Big fires.
So the headline I just got a little while ago, this is recorded as of Wednesday, right? So Wednesday, this is 11:35 a.m. on Wednesday. We're recording this. It's now, about 1 o'clock? So 12:30?
Yep.
Yosemite was closed indefinitely as they grew to the largest in history. The scope of these fires is unprecedented, right? It's resulted in the closure of Yosemite National Park, 17 large fires, one of which is the largest in the history of the state. Now, to bring perspective to this, it's requiring 14,000 firefighters battling these fires across the state, trying to contain new ones that are appearing daily. The National Guard has sent in over 2,300 people to help contain the fight. And international assistance has been sent to us from Australia and New Zealand so they can assist.
I love those guys anyway.
Yeah, exactly. The Mendocino Complex fire has doubled in size just in the last couple of days, and that's the one that's the largest in recorded history. It's the result of both the ranch and river fires combining that are near Clear Lake. You know Clear Lake,
right? I do. Which one started in Yosemite? Which one would that be considered?
I think that's the Mendocino Complex.
Is
part of these 17 fires,
okay.
Yes. There's a map you can see if you Google it. I think Forbes put out an article this morning that has a really updated map where you can see. It surrounds Clear Lake, which is the largest natural freshwater lake in California. The Mendocino Complex is burned 284,000 acres, has grown by 80% since Friday of last week, and is only 30% contained as of Wednesday.
Right? Wow.
That's crazy. The acreage count puts this fire just above last year's Thomas Fire, which burned 281,000 acres.
That was in Southern California.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now there's beyond this, right? As noted, you'll see in the map, there experiences fires from the very northern tip of the state in Klamath National Forest to several fires that are now surrounding Los Angeles metro area.
Yeah, Orange County.
Yeah. There.
Yeah.
So the Ferguson fire is in its third week. It's killed two people, injured another 11. And the National Park Service released a statement in the past few days. The fire has made roads inaccessible, downed trees, and made the larger Yosemite Valley too dangerous for tourists. The Ferguson fire at 94,992 acres and only 39% contained grew by 8,000 acres on Sunday alone. That's insane. That means these things are moving fast. The National Park Service has announced the following areas closed within Yosemite National Park, and I can just go through. I'll just give you some of them. Big Oak Flat Road, El Portal Road, Glacier Point, Tamarack Campground, the Wawona Campground, Wawona Road, Yosemite Valley. This is one of the biggest and greatest national parks in the country, and this hurts them a lot. 4.4 million tourists last year. Yeah. So you're now taking away a huge stream of revenue for the park. And then there's another one just outside of Redding. I think you were talking about this.
Yeah, it's called the Carr Fire.
Yes,
C-A-R-R.
That one is 174,000 acres, 47% contained. That's the 12th largest in California's history. That's destroyed over 1,000 homes, killed 7 people, and burns next door to the 90,000 people city of Redding, which is a pretty big city.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, this is unprecedented, and we don't necessarily, there's not much we can do, right, except be safe. But you're talking to me today about the air quality, right?
Well, yeah, so I've been noticing it on and off the past several days. But when I get up in the morning, it had this eerie orange-red glow, right? And I look up at the sun, it was just totally orange. And I mean, when I was driving in this morning,
right?
I couldn't even see the foothills. I couldn't see any mountains at all.
Really?
No. Nope.
That's unbelievable because, you could smell it on certain days.
Yeah.
You can see it on most days just looking at the mountains.
Yeah.
And it's scary. It's scary when you look around and you see these complete, you know, the hills are covered in smoke.
Yeah.
In Sacramento, they were closing, or they were encouraging people to not even leave the house, stay indoors.
Sure.
Students weren't going out for recess. In some cases, I heard they were going to close the schools. I don't know if that actually happened. They were talking about that on the news.
There was ash on my car this morning.
Was there really?
Yes, there was. Yeah, there was.
That's crazy.
There was ash on my car.
Well, it's a crazy thing to think that this is becoming a yearly issue, right? Every year, it seems like we're topping the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the drought isn't as prominent, is it because of the heat? What is the, why is it just dry? Are people careless? What's starting these fires?
Well, I was going to ask you that. Is there any, do they know what started any of these fires? I haven't heard.
I don't think they've said.
Yeah.
I know last year I remember them coming out and talking about it. But I mean, you could say it's climate change. They say it could be the only cause for explosive hot and windy conditions fueling these fires. But I'm not exactly sure if that's the only reason that this could be the case. But it is, what do you do? Are we at fault? Is there something we can do to stop this? I'm trying to see.
If it's human related.
I mean, you know, I know Donald Trump came out and started talking about it a little bit, and but I don't necessarily understand. Well, does weather change it? Like, if we get, I mean, obviously there's no rain, so it's not, that's not going to help us. How do they contain these fires in the first place? I don't understand it.
Well, I've lived here all my life.
Right.
California's always been known for its brush fires.
Right.
And we always get them. And part of the problem is that we used to, you know, hundreds of years ago, we used to get these fires.
Mm-hmm.
There's evidence of it in redwood forests and things like that. But the area wasn't populated then. So now it's very populated, California is. And it's a lot more detrimental to us because we live here. But they always got them. And in a lot of cases, these fires are necessary to get the trees and things to germinate. They have to have fire in order to do that.
Right.
So there are some cases where the firefighters will let the fires burn for that reason.
Right.
But if it gets close to a populated area, we have to try and stop it. And if you let those areas that are in unpopulated areas burn, they can get out of control.
I see.
So there's any number of reasons why, you know, we have fires the way we do now. The other thing is that, yeah, weather conditions contribute a lot. We have a condition called Santa Ana's, and that happens every year without fail. It happened long before they started talking about climate change.
Right.
And I can remember when I lived in Santa Barbara on the Gaviota Coast, I can remember it jumping 40 degrees within 3 hours.
Right.
It would jump from, say, 70 to 110.
Right.
And with gale force winds within 4 hours.
Wow.
Yes. And this happened quite often when I lived there.
Well, let me just say this. I just read, as you were talking, the cause of the fire. They said the fires have been caused by various things. The car fire, which we were talking about earlier, which has burned 167,000 acres, was started by a vehicle engine fault. That's how they, so they know the start of that. Nearly half of the 10 largest wildfires on record occurring in the last decade could be because of the drought-stricken state magnifying the issue. So whatever the issue was, it probably wouldn't have been a big issue if it hadn't been for the drought.
Right.
Years of the drought have resulted in dry vegetation across the state, allowing fires to spread rapidly. Mm-hmm. They said climate change is the underlying cause of all factors which have added up to allow the fires to get out of control. So it's obviously this is what Trump had said. The fires are being magnified and made worse by the bad environmental laws, which aren't allowing massive amounts of readily available water to be properly utilized. Of course, it comes back to a political issue.
Always.
There's a lot of experts that are saying that's absolutely untrue.
Yeah.
Our changing climate is leading to more severe and destructive fires that we are seeing this year and last year. So I would say that that's a good reason, but they're saying 110 degrees in certain areas where this is happening, and then the winds fanning those flames, dry land, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
This is the hot and arid conditions, gusty winds. This is what's going to create the problem.
The other thing is, too, that you're getting these fires in areas where there hasn't been fires in decades.
That's right.
So they don't tell you much about that. So that's also added fuel. So give it hot, dry weather, and it's explosive.
Yeah,
especially in those areas.
So here, let me give you the areas, right? So right now, these are the areas that are affected. Upper Lakes, Nice, Lucerne, Pepperwood Grove, Paradise Valley, Glen Haven, Clear Lake Oaks. Those are the main areas that are getting hit. And there's a site, if you go to express, I think it's express.co.uk, you can get up to the minute map that shows you the containment and the areas that it's affecting, and it's all pink and brown, and you'll be able to see it there. I just wonder, Larry, if these problems are going to increase year by year, if there's something we can do to prevent these now. What can we do now to prevent next year and then future fires?
I mean, always you can be more aware, of course.
Fireworks, right? People with their fireworks,
campfires, cars, anything like that, motorbikes, anything that has the potential to start a fire, be aware of that.
Yeah.
And don't be foolish. A lot of people are foolish and, they're negligent. So that's the first thing we can do. Mm-hmm. The other thing, climate change is going to be a contributing factor. We need to attack that at the root,
mm-hmm.
however you go about doing something like that.
Yeah, and I think
it's a political thing, of course.
It is. I mean, just reading the whole thing about the farmers in California and their plight to the local government and how they're basically feel like they're being taken advantage of, and that's a whole other story for another day. But we know that produce in California is one of the biggest exports and one of the reasons the state makes as much money as it does.
Yeah,
with all the natural resources.
And that needs water.
Mm-hmm. And there's apparently enough water here, just in the state alone, to hold us over for 30 years, but apparently they don't want to tap into those because they feel that it'll be putting us at risk down the road. But I don't understand how, after all these years, we haven't figured out some way of purifying water.
Seawater. We have.
We've talked about this on the show with the Santa Clara Water District.
Yeah, we have.
Remember, we have.
In fact, in Santa Barbara, when we were going through a drought, and it was in the 70s, I remember it well, they built a desalinization plant,
mm-hmm.
and it was very effective for a few months,
mm-hmm.
and then we had an El Nino. It was over, and they shut the plant down, and it's closed, and they're using it for God knows what now.
Isn't it super expensive, though?
It is super expensive, but when you think about the alternatives, I mean, do we really have a choice? They shut that thing down, and they scrapped it, and we should have had that as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of doing that, they were short-sighted and they scrapped it.
Yeah.
Now it's too late. So we could have used that. And we could have used it during the Thomas fire.
Well, that's the other side of it. It's like if it's going to stop these, I mean, these wildfires, are, once you start getting, most of it's happening in remote areas. So you don't, it's not really affecting a lot of rural or populated areas. But like you said, it's burning vegetation, it's burning trees. It's, you know, eventually it's going to affect the air quality enough that it's going to affect everybody in the state.
Well, it is affecting
our health. It is.
It is. Especially asthmatics. I'm one of those.
Yeah.
So it's affecting me. You know, I can tell you that right now it's affecting me. So it's
What is the cause of, like, for something like this? How do you sense that much of a difference in your breathing?
And for
people like you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So is it to the point where even when you're, like, in the house, or is it when you're outside?
No, it's when I'm outside in the house, I'm okay.
Because in the house, you're still, unless you don't have your windows open, you're still going to get air in the house, right?
Yeah.
There's still going to be air coming from the outside. Even if you have an air conditioning, you're pulling air in.
Yeah, but it's not concentrated in the house. It's concentrated outside, so.
So it's not
if you have the window
effective?
Shut and everything, you have a very limited amount of air coming in from outside.
But if your windows are open, you're still going to face it, right?
You are, but to a certain degree, but it's still going to be a lot less. You have to realize that, too, it's falling from the sky. It is. It's heavy. It's heavier than air. It's coming down to ground level now.
Right, right.
The roof stops that from happening inside your house. So you are protected to a large degree.
Yeah.
That's why they tell people not to go out of your house during times like this, where they don't have school, stay at home, stay indoors. Mm-hmm. We already know, you know, that you're still going to have it, but not to the degree that you would if you're out outside and being 100% exposed to it.
I see.
And, you know, ash. I mean, I'm outside. I'm inhaling ash. It was on my car this morning. What the hell is that? Mm-hmm. You know, I blew it and it was ash. I said, whoa, is it traveling that far? It is traveling that far.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I could see it. I could see it in the air. I could smell it. The other day, it smelled like somebody was burning firewood in my backyard.
Yeah. Yeah.
When in reality, there's no one burning firewood. But I get really disturbed sometimes. I'll hear, sometimes on the weekend, late nights,
fireworks.
10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock, I'll hear fireworks going off.
Well, it's the neighborhood
just
you live
local
in.
People
you gotta,
doing it.
You got to, that's, you know, it's your choice.
Yeah, but come on. I mean,
that's where you
one
chose
spark.
To live.
No, it's not. I'm in South San Jose. It's not exactly.
That's what I'm talking about. Sorry, people.
But I'm telling you, that I'm not far from where you are. I'm 10 minutes away.
Yes,
from
you are.
I'm 7
Don't
miles.
Don't put yourself
from
in
Los
the same
Gatos.
Category. Okay.
So, and it could be coming from you. It might even be you, for all I know. But no, that
true.
Really bothers me because one.
It bothers me too because they're idiots.
And we are lucky. It's not as dry in San Jose because we do get the low clouds, and sometimes we'll get a little dew in the morning, a little mist on the ground.
I wish we had a little bit more of that right now.
Yeah, seriously. But I think we're a little more protected being closer to the ocean and have a little more moisture in the air. Mm-hmm. But when you start getting a little east.
East,
I'm sorry, I'm an East Coast guy, so everything seems, the water's always
pretty
east.
Pretty obvious.
If you start going a little east.
Yeah.
And it starts getting, like, I mean, you go out to Pleasanton, Dublin, Liverpool, a lot of our listeners are there.
I know.
San Ramon. It is dry as toast.
Yeah, it is.
And it is hot, 106, 110, and dry. All it takes is one little spark, and then all of us are in danger.
I got something to add.
What's that?
When I was a kid growing up, 7 years old, I remember it vividly. We lived in the San Fernando Valley, Southern California. And I can remember the summers were hotter than Hades. I mean, terribly hot. Mm-hmm. Hot, dry, Santa Ana winds. I don't remember them being like that, nowadays. Mm-hmm. Only for shorter periods of time. But I'm talking all summer long.
Really?
Yeah. I do remember that. And I've talked to other people, too. Mm-hmm. They said, yeah, for sure.
That's unbelievable.
No June gloom. We didn't have any of that. No. Fog, low clouds in June. It was
hotter
than
hell. What was the climate
hell.
Difference when you were a child in the 1800s? What was the... no, what was the difference?
Boy,
you were in Santa Barbara,
you wait,
right?
Buddy.
You were in Santa Barbara?
No, I didn't grow up
Where'd
in Santa
up?
Barbara. I was... Part of my life was in L.A. Los Angeles.
I think it was Santa Barbara.
Culver
area.
City.
Culver
no,
City.
Not
that's
years
Culver
later. Culver
yeah.
City. So that's where I was born and raised until I was about 7 or 8.
Okay.
And then we moved to the San Fernando Valley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is?
It's a suburb, actually, of L.A. County. L.A. It's a suburb.
That's not far from Santa Barbara then, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, it is. Oh, it's about 100 miles south.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so never mind. Yeah, yeah. So you're San Fernando Valley. Hot. It's hot down there.
Yes.
It's hotter than it is up here.
Oh, way.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Comparable to like the Livermore Valley?
Yes, I would say so, yeah.
Was it that much different back then than it is now? Because I know in the last 10 years it's different. You know, it's hotter.
I wouldn't say so. Growing up, I always remembered the summers being really hot. Always remembered the sun. Even when I was a teenager, they were always really hot. I was at the beach all the time.
Yeah.
It was always really hot.
Did you go in the water?
I never got out of the water.
Oh, because I know down in here in California, very few people go in the water. It's too
cold.
Are
you kidding? No.
Oh, it's crazy. There's no one in the water.
Well, it was so warm on the sand, right?
Uh-huh.
You had to go in the water to cool off. Right. I mean, you couldn't even walk on the sand. You ran, you know, but you had to really run across the sand because it was really hot.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was hot.
All right.
It really was.
Well, I mean, I go to Santa Cruz and I think, you know, there's thousands of people on the beach, and I see maybe 12 people in the water.
The water up here is noticeably colder. Yeah. However, I was in Santa Barbara last week. I was looking at a project down there. I talked to the general contractor. His two sons are world-class surfers.
Mm-hmm.
They're competing around the world every year and winning trophies. These guys are world-class.
Right.
And they had remarked, this year, they said, the water is so much warmer in California than it has been in years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, usually what brings us an El Nino effect, which is what we really could use.
A couple years ago, right?
No, this is now.
Because El Nino, we had that.
It was a few years back or so.
2 or 3 years,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. So the water, it heats up in the Pacific and it draws moisture off the Pacific toward the east, off the western Pacific or southern Pacific, whatever it is. But anyway, yeah. And then there's hopefully... I say it, even though we've had all these wildfires and everything, I mean, we need the rain.
We do.
So people say, well, what about the floods? Well, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, it's one thing or the other.
Yeah, it's like six of one, half dozen of the other.
Seriously.
Like you're going to have mudslides with the rain. You're going to have flooding because our drainage isn't prepared for it because we don't have that much rain. And then there's all those issues, the overflow and all that. But it's like, it's like pick your poison at this point.
I would say, give me the rain.
I would say, don't build your house on a mountain if you know you're going to have to deal in the state with mudslides.
It's true.
Because I see so many houses. I'm like, I would never live in that. It's beautiful. It's probably got an incredible view, but you are on the side of a mountain in California.
Yep.
So I don't understand how you could think. I would imagine the insurance on a house like that's got to be crazy.
Well, it is now.
Yeah. But again, you know, we have to live. This is the other side. But I was discussing with Nate here in the office yesterday. It's like, no matter where you live, you have, I was saying, no matter where you is, you have your own thing to deal with, right? In Florida, you have hurricanes and tropical storms.
In the south, you have tornadoes. In the south, cyclones in the Midwest.
You know, you have earthquakes in California and droughts. In Texas, you have droughts. In Seattle, you have rainy weather. But then you have the issues of earthquakes and being on the fault line up there as well.
That's
so no matter where you are, there's going to be something that you have to deal with. But you just have to keep living. And you have to try and figure out how you can contribute in cases like this or how you can do your part to try and minimize the effects of these wildfires and such. Earthquakes is nothing we can do. You've got to wait.
So you already know this before it even comes out of my mouth, but there's going to be a lot of fundraisers in the near future for these
That was where I was going to go with this, believe it or not. You read my mind. I was going to say.
It was actually my thought.
Well, I'm glad you got to it first so you could actually say something for a change.
I can claim it.
What we shall do is when we find out about this, there's going to be, especially as we start seeing the count of homes that are affected, because a lot of families, when their houses burn to the ground, some cases they don't have the insurance to cover it. In some cases, there's
a lot of
very
cases,
little
actually.
That it will cover. It might cover a percentage of it. And I know that people will be doing their best to help rebuild these towns. I know there's certain towns that have been completely burned to the ground. Thankfully, not very populated towns.
No, most of them aren't because these are really in areas that aren't that populated.
Yeah. I was up in Napa a couple months ago, and I was one of the drivers, the Uber driver I had, was taking me along and showing me some of the areas that were charred.
You were telling me about that, yeah.
Yeah, and it was crazy, but it's like seeing like beautiful green pasture, and then all of a sudden you see like about a square mile of land that's just pitch black. yeah. and charred.
Yeah.
And then back to the green. It's almost like it left behind. It almost like picked its spot and
like
stopped.
A tornado. Yeah, that's exactly. What tornadoes do. What time is it?
What? We have 5 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Because I want to say something
please,
before.
Please, yeah.
No, I mean, I don't have to say it right now.
Well, you were saying something.
Well, I want to just talk about it.
Let's change gears.
Some upcoming guests.
Yeah, please, let's talk about that.
We do have some exciting guests coming on the show. Can I mention?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's okay?
Yeah, mention.
Greg's wife, we're going to try and get her on the show.
Yeah.
Why don't you share a little bit about what she does?
Yeah, she works
it's pretty
with,
neat.
She's a behavioral therapist and works with autistic children and children on the spectrum, and in most cases very young. In some cases, our newest client is a little more of a young adult, yeah. 19, I believe. She's working for a company called SkillCore Global Autism Fund, which is a group of a self-starter, I guess you would say a small organization that was started by one woman who basically sends these behavioral therapists that are working with children in this country.
Isn't that usually how it starts, though, really? I mean, yeah.
Especially here in California, where we're way advanced with that field. And they send them to these underprivileged countries to work with the teachers of these children, these autistic children, to help them advance the children. Because in a lot of cases, they don't have the funding in other countries, especially in poor countries, to actually work with these kids to get them functional, to get them so they can actually function out in society and maybe even work jobs and work with people. And the advancement in the field has been remarkable in the last few years. But in these other countries, they just don't have the funding. So the Global Autism Fund, they send these teachers to help work with those teachers
incredible.
And the kids.
Yeah.
So she's going to come in here. She's leaving in 2019 for several weeks to go work in Prague. There's others going to Indonesia. There's others going to Africa.
Wow.
There's like eight different locations. And
that's
she's going and she's raising money for this fund to help with these students.
So I want to contribute to that, by the way. I was going to tell you.
Well, that's really
definitely
nice of you.
Do that, yeah. I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, that's awesome. I will send you a link.
Yeah.
So she'll be on in a couple of weeks, and she's going to talk
about
that and that initiative and what they're doing, which I think is interesting. And we're also going to have somebody you spoke to.
Yes, I just did. A friend of mine at church just gave me a person's name. Her name is Mary Lay, and she's going to be coming on the show. She's really excited about it. And she has two children with autism. So she was really excited to hear that we wanted her on the show and that we have really good resources on autism. And I said, not just autism, no, I said special needs.
Mm-hmm.
So she's really excited to be on the show. So
that's
she's going to be another guest. And we might do them in tandem, right?
Yeah, maybe either week.
Maybe.
One week we'll do a perspective of, you know, those who are teaching and working with the children.
Yeah.
And another week where we talk about the parents that are also facing the challenges of having an autistic child.
You know, she did say, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
She did say that her son is nonverbal.
Okay. Yeah, see, there's so many. That's the thing we're learning is the spectrum is wide.
Mm-hmm.
There's no two kids that have the exact same thing.
Yep.
And, you know, in some cases, there's not high functioning, there's low functioning, there's nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
There's some that are very sharp mentally but don't speak.
Yeah.
There's some that are not sharp mentally but do speak. I mean, there's just wide range.
Yeah,
that's part of what is important to talk about. It's also what they call early intervention is a huge part of the field. If you see that your child might be a little bit behind other kids his age.
So,
yeah.
Well, I mean, Gemini. What was her name? The founder of Gemini.org?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay, but because she said the same thing. She said that.
Yeah, early intervention.
Yeah.
If you get them young and you work with them young, it's more likely they will be able to live a more normal life.
Mm-hmm.
If you ignore it, like some parents are afraid to acknowledge
Cannot do that.
And by doing that,
eventually
you get beyond a certain window and they're not as likely to adapt. Whereas if you get them young, they could still learn habits and almost memorize ways that make them more functional. So again, I don't want to say too much because I'm not a professional in this field.
I
happen to know somebody.
We already know that by listening to you.
So. Yeah, but
so
I've learned a lot, and there's other things I would never suggest I'm an expert on, but I do know through her.
Nothing really.
I'm not an expert in except music.
Oh yeah, I was going to say you are a music aficionado.
Yeah, food and music.
Yeah,
good.
We got to get together and talk more about music.
I see a lot here.
Whatever.
Listen, Larry, we're running low. Do you want any last thoughts before we
check? Well, I would just encourage all of you who believe in prayer. I do. I'm a person of faith. So I would encourage you to do that for the people that are suffering with all these wildfires. Firefighters, police, especially the people that have been evacuated and losing homes and stuff, just say a prayer and good thoughts and send them their way.
Well said. Next week, we'll be back. We'll have Murali from the Shankara Eye Foundation here. We're excited to see him.
That's right.
I'm sure we'll get a few serenades
in. Hey, Murali.
And we'll see you then. Thanks so much for listening to Bali 92.3 FM.